1 Peter chapter 4. And as we're turning there, we're beginning a series entitled Acknowledging Anxiety. Acknowledging Anxiety. I had the privilege, the blessing, or the curse, however you want to look at it, at spending a week down in Orlando, Florida, and going to Disney. How many of you all have ever been to Disney before? Disney is, they say, the happiest place on earth. And so you go to Disney expecting all of this joy. The Magic Kingdom, they call the most magical place on earth. Everything is geared towards and meant to make you happy, to make you smile, and to give you joy. And they do a really, really good job. It is a truly magical place. After all, you're entering into the Magic Kingdom, right? It's in the name. The Magic Kingdom, where they have magical characters. Those who you see on the screen are coming to life in front of your very eyes. They don't have employees there. No, they have cast members, because that's somehow more magical to have a cast member than it is to have an employee. They even have, I promise you, the most magical bottle of water. That's why it costs $4, okay? It's the most magical bottle of water you will ever drink. And I kid you not, as you're leaving the park, and I'm not making this up, there is a cast member there to direct you to, and I quote, the most magical parking lot in the world. It's true. All of it is magical. It's geared towards making you smile and making you happy and making you feel good about yourself and your experience. And it truly is a wonderful place to find joy, but it's not perfect. What you find is even in the midst of the Magic Kingdom, the happiest place on earth, there are kids who cry because they're having to stand in long lines, and people are getting tired, and you're getting bored from looking at the back of the person's head in front of you for so long. And all of that kind of can hamper the mood if you're not careful. The worst is at the closing. If you stay, and if you ever get to go to Disney, you need to stay and watch the fireworks at night. Disney is beautiful at night, and they shoot off these great fireworks we enjoyed watching, and then the park closes at 11, and this is not an exaggeration. They herd the crowds of thousands of people down and out of the park, shoulder to shoulder, and the monorail, which is the quickest way to get back to the parking lot, is not running to the parking lot, and so you have to be crammed on this boat next to, I'm assuming, hundreds, maybe as much as 1,000 people to take you across. Now, if you wait for, just say, about an hour between the time we were trying to leave the park and we finally reached our van being herded, somehow Disney loses just a little bit of magic in that moment, okay? Even in the midst of the happiest place on earth, even when the times are best and things are going well, things are not always perfect. As we begin this series this morning entitled Acknowledging Anxiety, we're going to be dealing with anxiety, depression, fear, stress, and worry. We're going to be talking about, even when things are going well, how anxiety often makes us feel less than adequate. And we'll be referring through the duration of this series to anxiety, covering all of these topics. When I talk about anxiety, I want to reference also anxiety, depression, fear, stress, and worry. All of these together, because they have a unique link. And so as we look this morning, I want to make a distinction in different types of anxiety. Now, I don't have the medical background. This is just how I am referencing anxiety this morning. I've not looked this up in a medical book. It's just observational. Two types of anxiety that we want to kind of begin looking at. The first is what I like to call occasional anxiety. Occasional anxiety. And in occasional anxiety, it's something that everyone experiences from time to time. It affects every single one of us. And it's occasional, not in the sense that it happens every once in a while, but it's occasional in the sense that it's circumstantial. It's based on the occasion of life. When things go poorly, we experience anxiety or depression or fear or stress or worry. And everyone experiences from time to time. But the thing about occasional anxiety is that time eventually eases that anxiety. If you experience an occasional, something that's surrounded by the circumstances of life, eventually time passes and that anxiety is somewhat or sometimes totally relieved. And this series is based a little bit on occasional anxiety, but it's really more what I would refer to as chronic anxiety. This is different from just the occasion has arisen and I'm stressed. This is something that according to statistics I found, roughly 1 out of 5 Americans deal with. Now, I will say that was anxiety. If you put in depression and fear and stress and worry along with it, I'm going to say it's probably, instead of 20%, closer to 40%, maybe even 50%. This is something that plagues us that is not necessarily just because of our circumstances. It's not circumstantial, although it may begin that way. It may start the anxiety. It's not what keeps the anxiety. It's more than just the circumstances. And chronic anxiety lingers. It's not easy to get over. And maybe, perhaps, we never get over this type of anxiety. Maybe it holds on to us for longer than we want it to. And we beg and we plead with God, will you please take my anxiety, my stress, my depression, my fear, my worry away? And this series is dealing with both types of anxiety, but specifically, I want to speak to those of you who experience that chronic, seemingly never-ending anxiety. Traditionally, the church has dealt with chronic anxiety in a few ways. One, the church is good at treating it like occasional anxiety. In other words, because we experience, and the church at large experiences this occasional anxiety where it flares up, then we think that everyone will be healed eventually with time. So when someone comes in with this chronic anxiety and they're hurting and they're stressed, we look at them and we give them the old, give it some time, it'll heal, it'll be okay. You just have to go through this time of life. Another way we deal with it is we associate chronic anxiety with a lack of faith. Well, if you just pray a little bit more, maybe your prayer life is lacking. Maybe you need to read this passage of Scripture. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6, do not worry. There, your problems are healed. And we treat chronic anxiety as if we can just put a Band-Aid of faith over it and that's going to fix everything. Or maybe thirdly, the church addresses it by not addressing it. It's ignored or downplayed as unimportant. Because we're not feeling what you feel, we don't understand and don't reach out to you and your need. During this series of the next several weeks, we want to avoid putting Band-Aids on a problem that is much bigger. We want to make sure we're looking at the Word of God and finding how God wants us to handle our times of anxiety and depression and fear and stress and worry. 1 Peter is written to a group of Christians who are experiencing severe persecution. They are being persecuted for their belief. And so their fears and anxiety may be occasional based on circumstances around them, but how they respond to that anxiety is a universal response that all of us need to strive for. We're going to read a couple of passages in 1 Peter this morning, beginning with chapter 4 and reading verses 12 through 14. Read with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah, so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of His glory. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." Peter says, when you face these trials and these afflictions, don't run from them, don't be fearful of them. Understand that God is using them. God wants to use your anxiety and your depression, your stress, your fear, and your worry. Look with me one chapter over in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. He again addresses them about their trials. Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 6, says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care on him, because he cares about you. Be serious, be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings you are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. The dominion belongs to him forever. Amen." As Peter begins talking to these people, this church that is experiencing extreme persecution, they are fearful, they are stressed, and they are scared. And the thing that he challenges them to is the very same thing he challenges us to. And that is a life that is rooted in a faith in a God who is bigger than our persecutions, our anxiety, our stress, and our worry. God wants us to recognize who is in control. And this is something that is easier said than done. I want to be real honest about our anxieties this morning. And the first thing, if you're following along in your bulletin, we're going to look at three kind of opposite statements, three statements that kind of have a this but that quality to them. And the first thing I want us to look at is this: you cannot suppress anxiety. You cannot suppress anxiety. You know, people with occasional anxiety don't understand why people with chronic anxiety can't just get over their fears. Why can't you just move past this? I'm in the 4 out of 5, if you will, that experiences occasional anxiety, and I do not often experience this chronic anxiety that so many people do. And I can remember sitting there talking to people who are experiencing this stress and this worry and just saying, I don't understand why you don't just have faith and feel better about things. And we try to suppress it and push it aside as if it's not a real or legitimate concern. So we encourage suppression. We encourage just put it aside. If we don't have to hear about it, then we don't have to deal with it. If we don't have to listen to someone share their struggles, then we don't have to figure out how we can help them. But Peter does not suppress the anxiety in this letter. And in fact, he embraces this trouble. He embraces this anxiety. He calls it out and he says, you should not be surprised. So we know that while we cannot suppress anxiety, we also know this: we cannot merely accept anxiety either. We cannot just sit back and decide it's a part of life and accept defeat. We can't just throw our hands up and say, this is the way I'm going to live, and there's nothing I can do about it. We cannot simply accept anxiety as normal. We have to be on the offensive. Too many chronically anxious people have given up hope that they can live a stress-free life. But Peter says, keep fighting. Look with me back in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. As we read there in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, he says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you." In other words, don't suppress it. Don't be shocked by it. It's coming. Right? Don't ignore the elephant in the room. It's there. "But it comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you." You hear Peter says there is a test. There is a trial that this anxiety and this fear is bringing. And a test is not a permanent circumstance. It's merely a gauge to judge your competency. Right? You have a test in order to know whether you can persevere and endure. And Peter says your fear and your stress, your anxiety and your worry, all of this that's coming on you is a test. It is temporary. There's a promise that he gives later on in this passage and in chapter 5 that a day will come when God will bring you to glory and you will be completely eradicated of all worry and fear. And so our fiery ordeals, our struggles, our anxiety, our depression, our fear, our stress, our worry are only a temporary test. They will pass. There's so much more to say about this. And over the next few weeks, we'll talk about this very idea that we cannot suppress our anxiety. We have to acknowledge it's there, but we cannot accept it as if we are stuck in our situation either. For now, let's just understand that we must accept, or we cannot accept, anxiety as something that controls you. So we fight. We toil and we labor, knowing that things won't necessarily feel better or be better in the immediate future. But by fighting against anxiety, we can recognize that it doesn't have to hinder us. We don't have to be controlled by it. So it begs the question that many of you have asked me, and that many people throughout my ministry have asked me, is it a sin to be anxious? Is it a sin then to worry? If we are to fight and overcome this anxiety, is it then sinful that we have this worry and anxiety? I want to look at several verses of Scripture that people use to make the argument that anxiety is indeed a sin. Matter of fact, just here in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read in 1 Peter 5, 7, that we are to cast all our care upon Him. You know, the New International, the English Standard, the New American, several translations translate it this way: cast all your anxiety on Him. The New Living says, give all your worries and cares to God. A command from Peter to cast your anxiety to Him. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry. He says it twice. Do not worry about the here and the now. Do not worry about the future. Don't be caught up in worry. He says again in Luke chapter 12, do not be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't have fear in your life. These are commands from Jesus Christ Himself. In John chapter 14, He also says, your heart must not be troubled or fearful. Philippians 4, 6, He says, do not worry about anything. This is a command that Paul is writing in Philippians. He says, do not worry about anything. And in Psalm 55, verse 22, we read, cast your burden on the Lord. You know, sometimes the conclusion is that anxiety, depression, fear, stress, and worry are fears that the Bible commands us to abandon, and holding on to them somehow makes us sinful or wrong. So when we worry and we're concerned and we have stress, we read verses like this and we say, wait a second, God, I must be this horrible, sinful person. But I'll go ahead and tell you, every single one of these verses I have pulled out of context. I have thrown up just a short phrase to show that when people come to you and want to share that your worry and your concern is sinful, that they're pulling these out of context to try to make you feel as if you are ultimately the problem. I want to make very clear this morning, anxiety is not a sin. Being worried or concerned is not a sin. Now, there is a difference between concerning and consuming. There's a difference between being worried or stressed and letting that overtake your life. But at its root, being stressed and worried is something that is completely out of our control. It's akin to a temptation that we have to suppress and fight, but it ultimately is not a sin. When Jesus commands us not to worry, doesn't He know that we don't want to worry? Doesn't He know that we worry about how much we worry? Doesn't He know that we can't stop the anxiety and the depression that He's commanding us to stop? We have to get in our head once and for all that in the context of these verses, Jesus is saying not a command, stop worrying or you're in sin, but you do not have to worry. Oh, you will? You'll be stressed, you'll be anxious, but you don't have to live that way. You don't have to remain in that state. Anxiety is not a sin, but it's also important to notice this about anxiety. Anxiety is the result of sin. Now, go ahead and fill that in your bulletin, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Anxiety is not a sin, but it is the result of sin. That is not to say that you have anxiety and depression and fear and stress and worry because you specifically sinned in some way. Certainly, there are times when sins we commit lead to guilt and to shame, which translates into anxiety. But overall, we're not saying you specifically have sinned and so you have stress. What we're saying is that we live in a fallen world, and our fallen and sinful world produces anxiety. It's a result of our sinful nature across the board. But take comfort in this. We were not created to worry. You were not created to have anxiety. It wasn't until sin entered the world that anxiety even became a thing. You and I were created in such a way that we could have perfect fellowship with God, that He would be in control of our entire lives, and that we would not have to have a care of anything other than a worship of God. Your anxiety is not a sin, but it's important to notice that the root of the problem is in a sinful and fallen world. And because anxiety is a result of a fallen and broken world, because we live in that world, the bad news is I have no quick fix solutions for you. I don't have a Band-Aid I can throw out to help you overcome your stress. I don't know if many of you came this morning saying maybe he's going to read a passage of Scripture that will just completely eliminate my anxiety. Maybe he'll teach me a specific prayer that I can pray where I'll never have to be stressed or worry again. And boy, I wish that I had that for you. But the circumstances we live in, the world that we're passing through, is one that is full of fallen, sinful people. It is one in which we experience all of these anxious thoughts. There is no pray more or read the Bible more or how many of you have heard the God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, and that's supposed to make you feel better. We cannot attack anxiety with just surface attacks. We have to recognize the root, and the root is sin. The root of all anxiety and depression and fear and stress and worry is this control that we now desire to have. If we can control it, we're not worried about it. If it's within our grasp and we can make it happen, we don't have to stress. My own obsessive compulsive disorder is why I know this to be true. I'll do it because I want it to be done right. Even though that's not completely true, I'll do it because I want it to be done my way. I may relinquish it and say, go ahead and try, and you can do a perfect job, but I want that control. I want to have my hand on everything. So we take on more control, right? We take on more problems and more issues because we want more control. And that only leads to more stress and anxiety, spirals us into depression. Because anxiety is rooted in this idea of controlling, this sinful thought. Have you ever thought for a moment, while all of us are trying to get more control of things, get a handle on our anxiety, find something you can control, that maybe perhaps controlling is the problem. Controlling is the problem. There are countless self-help books that will tell you that you can help yourself by finding the things you can control and focus on the things you can control. And that's not bad advice for treating symptoms. They're good advice, and I would encourage you to try some of those things because it can help in the short term, but it doesn't treat the root. The more you try to control, the more anxious and depressed and fearful and stressed out and worried you become. Anxiety is the result of a sinful world, and sin is rooted in control. Lucifer was an archangel who, although he controlled around a third of God's angel armies, desired even greater control and wanted to have control over God. Because of his desire to control, he has fallen into sin and took a third of the angels with him. Adam and Eve were deceived into believing that they needed to know good and evil so that they can control the decisions they made. If you would eat this fruit, you would have more control over the things that you do. And so they take the fruit, they see that it's pleasing to the eye and it's good for food and it's good for giving them power and control, and they fall into sin. Abraham and Moses each doubted God's faithfulness and took matters into their own hands to control their own destinies. King David was entangled in a sin, a sinful web that he tried to control. And in the midst of him trying to control his previous sin, he ends up committing murder on his mistress's husband. Control is rooted in our sinful desires. The apostle James and John wanted to control their eternal status when they come to Jesus and ask for positions of authority. Make us greater. Give us more control and more power. And even the apostle Peter, who wrote the letter we're reading today, he wasn't on board with Jesus' plan to be arrested and crucified. And so Peter tries to control Jesus' safety. Lord, let it not be so. I will fight to the death for you. There's no way I'm letting that happen. I will control your destiny. To which Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan. Your controlling this is the same thing Lucifer tried to do when he fell." Our control ultimately leads to sin. And you think that control is the answer, but control is the very thing that has led to our anxiety, our depression, our fear, our stress, and our worry. No, control is not the solution. Control is the problem. Relinquishing is the solution. Letting go is the solution. Acknowledging that God is in control and giving Him the reins. Surrendering to Christ and His salvation is the only way in which we experience freedom from the anxiety that plagues us. And there is a promise from God that one day your anxiety will be vanquished. It will be eliminated. It will be done away with. And you will be perfectly content in the arms of Christ. We live in a stage that is already but not yet. We can already experience the salvation and the peace of God, but we have not yet been made complete. Your anxiety will continue so long as you live. Your fears and your stress, your depression and your worry, they will continue so long as we have breath. We cannot completely eliminate, but there is a day that is coming. There is a promise that Jesus Christ and salvation in Him will give us victory over our anxiety, victory over our depression, victory over our fear, victory over our stress, victory over our worry. Jesus Christ was crucified so that you do not have to live a chronically anxious life. Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China and the founder of what today is known as Overseas Missionary Fellowship, he gave this advice that I think is excellent. Hudson Taylor says, "Let us give up our work, our plans, ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, our influence, our all, right into God's hands. And then when we have given all over to Him, there will be nothing left for us to be troubled about." Wonder this morning whether we're trying to control our own fate. The problem is we're treating the source instead of the symptoms. The problem is we're trying to control more things instead of letting more things go. And I understand the dilemma in letting go. I understand the dilemma in trusting God fully. Because when we treat the source instead of just the symptoms, we don't see immediate results. When we treat the symptoms, we may get immediate results. Immediately, my anxiety is relieved. Immediately, my fear is gone. Immediately, I feel a little better about the situation because I've got a little bit more control, and in the short term, that has helped. It's kind of like when you're sick If you have the flu, it comes on and maybe you've got a headache. And so as you're battling these flu-like symptoms, you think, I'm going to take a couple Tylenol to get rid of this headache. And maybe for the short term, it kind of alleviates some pressure in your head, but for the long term, you still have the flu. On the flip side, you take that flu medication and you don't feel any different the first 24 hours. You feel about the same. Maybe sometimes you feel even worse. But you take and you treat the problem instead of just the symptoms. You treat the source. And ultimately, in treating the source, we see results. I understand this morning when I ask you to relinquish your anxiety to God, it's an easier said than done task. It's not a put a Band-Aid on it and just trust and everything will get better. It very well may be you trust and things get worse. Very well may be that you let go of some control and that causes you some more anxiety. It may be that you say, Lord, it's in your hands and I can't control it. And that brings upon a panic attack because you've let go of something. But we also acknowledge that letting go ultimately brings us into a healing relationship with Christ. It is the gospel that treats sin. And it is sin that is rooted in our anxiety and our struggles. It is the saving grace of Jesus Christ that allows us to experience the freedom that He desires us to have. We have to acknowledge that God may not completely heal that aspect of our lives while we're here on earth. Perhaps it's meant to be something that continually tests us, a thorn in our flesh that repeatedly reminds us of our dependence on His control and not our own control. But regardless of whether or not we experience occasional or chronic anxiety, God wants us to cast our cares on Him. God wants us to give Him control of our lives. God wants us to submit to His salvation so that He is able to begin the process of healing us. This morning, the answer to our anxiety is not a Band-Aid, have faith. Instead, it's submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing that that will not immediately heal you on earth, but it puts you in the right path to experience His ultimate healing. This morning, regardless of whether you are one who deals with chronic or occasional anxiety, God wants you to give Him control of your life. God wants to forgive the sin that entangles you. He wants to set you free. He wants you to realize that His will for your life is better than your own. He wants to offer you salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. So this morning as we pray, Lord, I give it all to You. Do we give our lives to Him in salvation? Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning and we acknowledge, we know that we can do nothing on this earth for our anxiety that will perhaps completely rid it. So Lord, we know that following You, that trusting You, that allowing You to control our lives, that may or may not bring us immediate peace. Lord, what it does do is it gives us a promise and a hope. Lord, it gives us a purpose and a destination so that when we're going through this fiery ordeal, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, we're going to talk in future weeks and we know Your Word has much to say about how to deal with the immediate anxiety, but this morning, Lord, we don't want to just treat with the symptoms of our stress and our worry. Lord, we want You to know that only You, only Your control, only Your lordship, only Your guidance can give us any peace. So the things that we make ourselves hold on to, let us give them up to You, trusting that You'll take care of them. Let us relinquish our fears. Not that we won't be afraid, but we know who's in control. Lord, let us give You our care and our anxiety, knowing that we still will feel worried and anxious, but we know You're in control. Lord, let us give You our lives. Let us give You our very steps that we take, the very breath that we breathe. Let us submit to You and acknowledge that Your salvation is what ultimately heals. Lord, we thank You that although You continue to allow us to go through times of anxiety, You don't leave us, You don't abandon us, and You have a plan better than our plan, and that You are in control. It's in your name we pray. Amen.